It turned.
Is it on? Yeah. Good evening. Today's date is October 3rd, 2024. It is 5:30 p.m. and the Ponce Inlet Essential Services Advisory Board meeting is called to order. Would you please stand for the pledge? Ms. Jessen, can you please call roll?
Mr. Cox?
I am here.
Mr. McConaughey?
Present.
Mr. Pulver?
Present.
Ms. Wurst?
Here.
Ms. Valerian?
Here.
Mr. Witt?
Here.
Mr. Suster?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. And everybody's had a chance to review the agenda for tonight. Does anybody have any changes for the agenda? Then I'll request that we... I'll make a motion that we adopt the agenda as presented.
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Anybody have any changes to tonight's agenda? I'm sorry, to the meeting notice from June 13, 2024. Does anybody have any changes to it?
I have no changes.
And I'll make a motion that we accept as presented. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Ms. Wurst, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. We have no old business, so we're going to move right into the topic of the evening, Chief Scales. And it's going to be regarding retaining the reserve engine that we currently have. Because I think in our last meeting, we were talking about in the future purchasing a new fire apparatus, but that got moved up.
Correct. That's correct. And I'll give you a quick update on how we got to the point this evening. At the last regular council meeting where the budget was approved for this fiscal year, council approved the purchase of a 75-foot Quint aerial apparatus that will replace the current 2009 engine that we have in service today. And as part of that discussion as far as the new vehicle, what to do with the old vehicle, some questions and legitimate questions came up about the benefits, costs of keeping the current fire truck as a reserve piece. Currently, right now, today, we do not have our own backup engine. And if we go out of service for whatever reason, mechanical failure, maintenance, we borrow a truck from a neighboring department. It's worked very well. We've had that arrangement in place for as long as I've been chief here. Although it's worked very well, other cities are suffering the same issues with aging equipment that we were. And the number of reserve apparatus just isn't what it used to be. I provided you a couple of a staff report and a supplemental report with a list of answers to some questions and just some background on how we work and how we do what we do. What we're here tonight to do is discuss, answer any questions, and get your support to keep the current fire truck as a reserve engine. Our plan going forward is once we take delivery of the new Quint aerial apparatus, we have a mini pumper, which is a very small F550 truck that has a very small pump, very small tank, that was purchased as a requirement of previous fire chief for use at Harbor Village. I would not have done that, but that was my predecessor's request. We have never used that truck for that application, and we never would. And it's 22 years old. Its pump needs a complete rebuild, and the engine that is in that thing is subject to some issues. And it's a standard transmission, and it's nobody can drive it. In fact, when we take it to the Ford dealership, they have one guy that can drive it in the Ford dealership, and if he's not there, whoever we brought it up has to take it and put it on the lift. It just isn't a practical vehicle. So our plan was to sell that through either auction, RFP, or best offer from a dealer. Send that to a better home, When we sell that vehicle, that'll free up some space in the current fire station. I've worked with Public Works, and through some Tetris Jenga of buildings, we've actually come up with a pretty good solution that's in my report that says, you know, we can relocate some Public Works equipment to the garage behind my building, which actually will benefit them. They'll have equipment in the middle of town, which makes it easier for them to get to and deploy. And in exchange for that, I can take my backup ambulance, put that at the Public Works facility, and that will allow me to store my current ambulance, backup engine, and the Quint in the fire station. So that's really a game changer for us. There was a concern if this vehicle was in another city's location being stored, you know, we wouldn't have as much control over it, and that's true. It's there, and if the city has to do something to move it or if they want to use it, even though they would get our permission, it's not here. Our crews will be able to maintain it here. It'll be under our control. It'll be checked out as regularly as we can check it out. It's just a much more convenient thing to have here in the station. And just remember, we do have a backup ambulance. So when our primary ambulance goes out of service, we have a spare ambulance. We just haven't had the opportunity for a reserve engine, and we have this opportunity now to keep this truck. There is a cost with keeping the truck. There's going to be preventative maintenance on it. There's going to be insurance costs, and I've given you those costs in the reports. And, of course, there's going to be unexpected maintenance that will occur to it. But since it's going to be a reserve piece, and it's not going to be run first due all the time, you know, repairs should be pretty minimal. And our goal really is to maintain, if not lessen, our vehicle repair budget in the subsequent years, because we just aren't going to have as much to put into that truck. And the other thing is, we have put quite a bit of money in repairs into that vehicle, and I look at those as investments. I mean, they're new parts, they're new pieces that we just put in this truck. It makes sense to us to hang on to it. So what we're discussing here this evening and requesting is not unusual. Most cities have a spare apparatus of some type, and I gave you a list of our neighboring cities that we work with that do have those vehicles. You'll notice that New Smyrna does not have any currently. Theirs all broke down and have been decommissioned. They're going to take delivery of 4 brand new fire trucks within the next 6 months to a year, and they're going to roll down 2 fire trucks to be their reserves. So we're kind of following suit with everybody because we have this opportunity that we really haven't had before. With that, both of those documents, I think, go into a lot of detail as far as how we operate the different vehicles, some of the justifications, and some of the things to consider that we think are positives of keeping this reserve piece. So what we're looking for this evening, even though I know we kind of discussed it at one of our previous ESAB meetings, we really wanted to make sure that you all had the information, that if you had any questions, we could answer that and get your recommendation going forward, whether to keep the truck or not keep the truck. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
So, I'll start. So I had the opportunity to go to the city council meeting, the budget meeting here a few weeks ago. And after the new apparatus, the Quint apparatus was approved, the discussion led to this new or the older reserve truck, what to do with it. And there was a lot of questions about it in that meeting. Some of us were there. This is obviously an important meeting to discuss this issue because, as you see, we have some county commissioners here and the mayor's here, and it's very important to them that they listen, hear our words, as well as our recommendation going forward. Hope he doesn't mind. Mr. White was one of those at that time who not made up his mind, or at least at that time of the meeting, didn't appear to be fully supportive of maintaining the reserve apparatus, and he had a lot of tough questions he asked the chief as well. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I just want to kind of let you guys know that I actually reached out to Mr. White, spoke to him about several things leading up to this meeting so we could be prepared to talk about them. And that when I reached out to him, actually, it was just prior to Mr. Dish or Ms. Jesting sending out the questions that they have received. I don't know if they're from the community or who you were getting questions from. By the way, can you explain where those questions came from? Because I had a lot of the same questions coming into tonight's meeting before that came out.
I'm not 100% sure. I know Councilmember White did provide some of those. There may have been some other from other residents. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, great. So a couple questions I have. One, it's your preference and you're making a recommendation that if we do approve, or, I'm sorry, we don't approve it, if we make the recommendation to the city council to maintain this reserve apparatus, is it your recommendation that we keep it here in the city? Because a lot of these questions related to MOUs and if we move it to New Smyrna Beach and who has responsibility, so on and so forth. So if it's approved by the city council, is it your recommendation that they keep it here in Ponce Inlet?
Yeah, my goal is to keep it here in Ponce Inlet. That's always been my preference, and we've been able to do that with some maneuver. But yes, yes.
Okay. And you brought up cost of maintenance. So can you, the $2,000 a month that you're recommending moving forward, I'm gathering by what you just said, that's based on the fact that it's not going to be as used as much. We just replaced a lot of parts and so on and so forth. And it's in a good operational position now because we just invested in it. Can you tell us how much, maybe in the last 5 years, what's the average of the maintenance of that vehicle?
We actually provided this at the last council meeting. I think the number was about $63,000 it cost us in the last 3 years as far as replacement parts and pieces. And, you know, this past summer, spring, we had to put a new radiator in it. That was a $10,000 repair. So the number's a big number, but anything having to do with these vehicles, you know, every time you take it to the shop, it's typically not a cheap repair. The good news is, and repair is an issue, I can't tell you that it's never going to break down or when it's going to break down or how much we're going to have to put into it long term. We do know what our preventive maintenance costs are. They're pretty standard. And again, with our crews maintaining it on site, we have an even better chance of catching issues early and dealing with them early. The truck is still in good working order, and it's a double-edged sword when you talk about maintenance costs and, you know, to sell it, not to sell it, to keep it, to get rid of it, to replace it. I don't want anybody here to think that is in such a state of disrepair that it's not usable. That is not the case. As I said at the council meeting, we want to replace it now before it gets to that point. So there's still life left in that vehicle, and what we would like to do is just continue to extend that life here in Ponce Inlet.
And Chief, you're determining the cost of maintenance just based on the reserve apparatus, right? So on the new engine, we're not anticipating much cost because I assume there's warranty on it, and anything that goes wrong or even maintenance, is that going to be covered under warranty, or is that budgeted separately or additionally?
All of those maintenance costs would come out of a repair and maintenance budget. So think of it this way. With the removal of the mini pumper and its maintenance requirements, frees up those funds and any additional repairs you have to do with that. But there is funds available for maintenance of both vehicles, and so the maintenance costs are about the same. And to your point, warranty covers most things, but as you know, not everything. So there may be a few things that aren't covered, but typically most things are covered through the warranty. So yes, repairs on the current vehicle should be pretty minimal.
And the water pump truck you suggested might get it. We have somebody wanting it for maybe $10,000.
We have one offer for $10,000 now. Again, we could do RFP or go through brokers and try and get more money, and I'm happy to do that. I think we should do that.
Does that go into the maintenance, or does that go to a different fund?
That would go into general fund, and it would go wherever the money goes in the general fund.
Okay. Something that to me that was very telling was when I looked at the list of other cities, some our size, who all maintain their apparatuses as a reserve unit. When you listed Daytona Beach Shores has one, Port Orange 2, Edgewood 1, New Smyrna doesn't have any, but you explained that in South Daytona. To me, that's very telling of the importance of it because the other cities have done the same thing, following path. Those are my questions right now.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering, and excuse my ignorance, but I really don't know much about fire departments. So, for instance, when the main unit, the new Quint, goes into maintenance, if should be just a few hours. So do you have to take all the equipment from that engine and put it on the reserve one so it's ready to go? How does that work?
That's a great question. Typically, if it's an hour short repair, we probably wouldn't switch in. We're talking about repairs that are going to take it out of service for a long period of time, hours, days, or weeks. Although in the new truck, it shouldn't be weeks unless there's some major manufacturing defect that we don't have control over. But yes, when we do switch in between vehicles, we do move equipment back and forth. Yep. Just like a good example, our ambulance. Right now, we're going to be getting a second stretcher, so we'll have that in this backup ambulance. But right now, I have to move the ALS advanced life support paramedic equipment from the current ambulance to the backup ambulance. It's the same concept.
Yeah, and that's what I was mainly concerned about, that we're not looking at buying an additional set of supplies.
No.
Or
no. The only thing I'll qualify that we do have money budgeted for replacement hose on the current engine as a reserve. So it'll have its own hose. Otherwise, you have to unload and reload hose, and that takes time, and that's a lot of work. So
I had a question about where you said that the use of neighboring has diminished.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason for that, and why is that diminished?
Sure. Their fleet is aging as well. It's everybody buys trucks at the same time, and they go out of service at the same time, and that's pretty much where everybody is. They just get old, they decommission them, and typically they'll replace them with new vehicles, but if the replacement schedule is delayed, they have to run those longer. That's why. They're just being decommissioned.
Okay, so you've noticed that recently, that it's in the past few years? Or
probably last 5 years, but the last 2 years it's been very difficult. Recently we had borrowed Edgewater's engine, and they have two engines. They were in one backup, and we took their other backup, and their other engine broke, and they came and took their backup home. And we had to move into the teeny tiny little mini pumper, which is not optimal, but it's better than nothing. But I don't like, that's not a good solution. So this, it happens, and unfortunately, you know, it's going to happen more frequently, but, you know, we have great working relationships with our neighbors as far as loaning equipment, supporting each other at incidents, training, and we help each other as best we can, but if you don't have the vehicles available, you can't do that.
So I got a couple things. So first, looking through some of these questions that you had, it looks as though that the annual cost is probably going to be somewhere around $3,600. $2,000 annually for maintenance and $1,600 in insurance. So we're really debating this whole thing over spending $3,600 a year. This is in the grand scheme of things in a budget of a department that's roughly $1.6 million. We're worried about spending $3,600, which in the grand scheme of things, when you think about the downtime of that frontline apparatus, even if it's new, it's got to go down annually at least for 1 week to have an aerial test done on it. It's got to go down a week to have a pump test done on it. When they find problems with the pump or the aerial, which they do on new apparatus, it may be covered under warranty, may not cost us anything, but it doesn't cover our downtime of not having an apparatus there. So while we're waiting for our second due, which is 10 minutes away, we're losing property here in town. So ultimately, when it boils down to the couple weeks or so that it's down, we're looking at, you know, roughly, you know, $720 a week if our frontline apparatus is down for 5 weeks between maintenance, pump testing, aerial testing, and repairs. So I mean, $720 a week. You can't even barely rent a pickup truck for that for a week. So I don't understand the concern with the money on that side.
May I say something there before you move on?
What's that?
May I say something before you move on from that?
Sure.
I guess I understand the community's, others' concern. It's not about the money or the $3,600 a month, but it's also you're going to sell the apparatus. There may be up to $50,000 that goes back in general fund. So it's probably a little bit what's in the best way to be the best steward of our money for the city. So I think that's where some of the concern is. You know, $3,600 is not that much. Are we going to get our worth out of it compared to the $50,000 we may get for the truck?
And if I could just speak to that, Ryan, your points are well taken. I view this exercise as a valuable exercise because I do forget that not everybody's steeped in the fire service like I am, and not everybody's brain works like mine does. And what when I look back on this, the questions that were asked were good questions. They were legitimate, good questions. And now I have answers, and now anybody who asks those questions in the future, I have those answers. They're,
right.
So, but I don't disagree with where you're coming from.
Right.
But at the same time, I do see the value in this process. And
I understand what you're saying. I'm not disputing the value in the process. I'm just saying, in the grand scheme of things, what we're talking about is $3,600 a year in our budget. And to even back up a little bit more on the total cost of everything, we started with a possible purchase of $1.5 million. And we were able to be able to pick this truck up for 1.263, right? 1,263,000. So we're already in the positive in this whole thing for 237,000. So then if we take that and add the $10,000 of the sale of the mini pump, we're $247,000 to the positive already. So we're looking at over 15 years, that's $16,000 a year in maintenance. For that was originally budgeted for this project, that is now savings that we're not even going to spend close to that a year in maintenance for the whole life of this vehicle, for the rest of its life. So I'm struggling with the concern with the money, because any company, even if I owned a business and I had one printing machine and that printing machine went down for 5 weeks, that might put my business out of business. So you got to have redundancies either way. The reserve engines from other departments, it's very difficult. Since COVID, when COVID happened, our ability to obtain fire apparatus went from, we were looking from a year to a year and a half to somewhere between 3 to 5 years on certain things. Even rescues, we can't even find chassis to build rescues on, transport units. So there's places that are looking 5 and 8 years ahead and purchasing now to purchase chassis to build ambulances because they're only allowed to build so many. Ford is only allowed to build so many chassis. Chevy's only allowed to build so many, and they're cut off. And the fire and ambulance business is less than 1% of all of that business. So these are things that we need to be way ahead on. And I think Chief Scales is and Chief Landerville are on that path. And we're gonna find ourselves in a situation where, if we have a major repair with our frontline apparatus, not having a spare and relying on another city, that they may have the same because they're unable to replace their apparatus in a timely manner. So obviously I'm all for this. I just don't see all the concern about the thing. Those are my comments.
Mr. McConaughey, all your points were very well taken, but the way you did your math on that, since we saved $200,000, whatever, therefore we can spend X, I felt like I was talking to my wife.
It's called fireman.
Who's out of town, by the way. So. Anybody else have a discussion? So my thoughts are, looking at your staff report, you had listed a bunch of benefits to maintaining this reserve apparatus. In the past, we haven't had one, or we used the water pump truck
We have. Mm-hmm.
So by maintaining this reserve apparatus, I do think it enhances our services to the community. So I think that's important to note as well.
I just want to say I really do appreciate the process because I am very ignorant when it comes to fire departments. And your reports and your questions and the answers were very helpful for me, so I really appreciate that. And I don't have any reason not to support it.
And I wouldn't say ignorant. I would say informed.
Thank
How's
you.
That? Now you're informed.
Thoroughly.
Yeah.
Thoroughly. Anybody have anything? Do we have any public comments on this issue? We do not. Anybody would like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to recommend maintaining the current 2009 E1 pumper as a reserve apparatus.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
You want to take a vote?
Mr. McConaughey?
Yes.
Mr. Pulver?
Yes.
Chair Cox?
Yes.
Vice Chair Valerian?
Yes.
And Ms. Wurst?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. And I hope that was helpful for those who were here in the audience. Okay, let's move on to our staff reports. Welcome, Chief Scales.
I should have stayed up here, sorry. Really, the biggest news is obviously the items that we just discussed. Chief Launderville just finished our final draft and submitted it for review to our accrediting body this week. So it's in their review process. Once they finish and Chief makes the modifications to that self-assessment manual, all three components of our required accreditation process to move us from applicant to candidate status will be done, with the goal of moving for final accreditation this year. He said November. I don't know if it'll be November, but we are well on our way. And Joe's a hard worker, but I cannot tell you how much work he really has put into this, not just on this project, but also his duties as deputy chief. He was here on Saturdays and Sundays working on this. I just can't tell you how much I appreciate the effort he's put into this and how much this is going to benefit the community and what a wonderful asset and resource he has been to this department so far. So I just want to put that out there. We're in that lull period between the summer crowd and the snowbirds, so call volume has been pretty decent. We've had some fairly interesting calls, but nothing too unusual. We're still fully staffed, although we have one employee that's just been deployed federally to help with the disaster efforts. I think he's going to North Carolina. And we have another fella out with family issues. So we're fully staffed, but we have a little bit of a hiccup. But we're doing fine. No major issues. Your men and women are doing a great job training every day. You probably will see them out in the community doing some walkthroughs of the different buildings and condos. And I just can't begin to tell you how proud I am of working with these guys and gals. This is probably one of the best group of employees I've had in my entire career here. So we're very fortunate to have them here, and I'm very fortunate to be able to work with them. So that's all I have for the fire department. And if you would indulge me, can I move Public Works up since I'm already here? Do you mind if
Please.
I is that okay, if that's Please. All right? So with that, I am very happy, beyond happy, to introduce Steve Wargo as our new Public Works Director. Steve started on Monday. Really, I think he started kind of on Friday. Come on up, Steve. I've told Steve he's got 30 seconds. No, you'd be fine. Steve already, the employees really have come to like him a great deal in the short time he's been here. Really easy to work with, got a ton of great ideas, and I'm really excited to have him here. And before I let Steve go, I just want to thank Steve Dunlap, because that guy, you have no idea what he has done for this town during this whole interim period with Fred being gone and before Steve started. He's fantastic. He stepped in and did things that he had never done before, always with a smile. Whatever we needed, whenever we needed it, he was there. And I can't thank Steve and the rest of the staff for really stepping up and being team players, because they do an awful, awful lot. So with that, go ahead, Steve.
Hi, I'm Steve Wargo. Well, there's a lot to know about me, and I'm happy to share whatever you guys need to know, but I'm glad to have this job. This is something I've been looking forward to and something I've really worked hard for. And, you know, I've worked for UF for a great number of years. I worked with Alachua County for a number of years. And now I've come to work for a really wonderful town. I've been working for 3 days now and going around and checking everything out and seeing all the stuff there is to see. It's a really beautiful town. I like it a lot, and I can't wait to really get things going.
Well, sir, welcome. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions? Or
save all that for next meeting. We'll get you, let you get acclimated.
All right.
Before we,
All right, no problem.
Thank you.
Quick Public Works update. As you know, we've got some weather coming this weekend. Looks like some rain. Depends on how, we're not sure how much. Could be 2 inches, could be 12 inches. Who knows until it gets here. But we've already got the ponds pumped down, and we're ready to deploy those. I think they're going to do some pumping tomorrow just in case. The pond dredging RFP contract was awarded, and they're probably going to start that project, I think, this month, if not the beginning of next month, with the one-way valves being a few months after that. So that's in process. Public Works has just been doing their everyday duties, keeping things going. Ponce Preserve, we're getting really, really, really close to getting the work started on getting those pilings repaired. We're in the final permit phase, and I just reached out to the contractor today, and it sounds like they're pretty close to having all the paperwork wrapped up, and as soon as they have that done, they'll start working. And I think once they start working, I think they told me about 30 days to get everything done, thereabouts, weather permitting, obviously. So we'll keep you posted, and there'll be information on Facebook as that project progresses too. And if you have any questions, feel free to call. But beyond that, I guess that's all I have for Public Works. We're just hoping for a quiet rest of the hurricane season. Keep our fingers crossed. So, and we thank you for your support.
Thank you. Chief Leisure.
Good evening. Jeff Glazier, Ponce Inlet Police Department. I only wrote down three different items to talk to you guys about tonight. The first one is our vacancies. So we still have two vacancies. I think I had two the last time I spoke with you. The challenge that we always have is I don't hire rookies. I only hire people that have experience, simply because our call volume is lower than most of the departments in Volusia County. And so you're not going to get the experience here. They have to bring the experience with them. And so I only look at the people with experience. And then that makes my pool of candidates extremely small for the people that I can bring on. Because not only do we look at the experience, but we also look at the record, and I'm really looking for spotless records. So having said that, I do have two candidates that we're currently looking at. Combined, they have about 48 years of experience. They're both in excellent physical condition. And one of those is getting very near the end of the process. He only has a couple of things left to do, like a medical exam, psychological exam. The other person we just interviewed, and after that interview now, he has a very thick questionnaire packet that he has to fill out. He then turns that back into us, and my investigator goes through that and has to confirm all the information that he puts down. And then once he's done with that, we do the offer letter, and then he has a few more tests. So one candidate's probably about 2 or 3 months behind the other one. My goal is to have them both hired by the end of this year, hopefully. Hopefully that'll work out. The second thing I wrote down is just our calls for service. We do a calendar year. We don't do a fiscal year on my statistics. So at our next meeting, I'll have all the final numbers for you, the calls for service, our response times, crimes, and things like that. But I did look at the numbers through September, and we're tracking very closely with next year. There's really no anomalies. Calls for service is close to the same. Response time is just about 4 minutes for any call for service, which is probably one of the best in the country, and we're tracking along that line now, so that still looks good. And the last thing that I wrote down is just some of the training that the police department puts on for the residents. Yesterday, I taught our fraud class. We only had a handful of people. I wish we had more for that class. But if one of those people can hold on to their life savings and not be defrauded, then it's worth it to me, because unfortunately, we have had some residents that have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in frauds and scams. And so if we can just save one of those residents from one of those nightmares, then it's really worth it. And then the other class we're putting on is our women's self-defense class, and that's on October 23rd. We usually get about 30 to 35 participants in that, and that one fills up quickly. So we're looking forward to putting that class on. And that's all that I have, unless you guys have any questions.
I just had a question. From the time that you have an opening to the time of hiring, how much time frame does that usually take?
It's pretty wide open. I mean, if we get a great candidate, we can fill it quickly. The problem is I may get 10 to 15 applications, and none of them are either they don't have experience, they've never policed, or they have a very big internal affairs record, and I simply won't look at those people. So it could be anywhere from 3 months. I think the longest is probably the situation where we're in right now, where it's been almost 14 months.
So the time that you make an offer to the time of hiring, because you mentioned several tests, what kind of time frame is that?
Yeah, that could be about 2 weeks if we can get all the tests done. So we have a medical exam, we have a psychological exam, and then we have the polygraph. And we can usually get those scheduled within 2 weeks.
But it sounds like you have made two offers, correct?
No, we have one offer, but that person still has to complete all those three tests. He hasn't completed any of those yet. And the other person, we just interviewed, and he hasn't even done his background questionnaire yet. Yes.
And then there's training once they come on.
Yeah, that's correct. So once we bring them on as official hire, we swear them in, and then we have to put them through field training, which is, depending on their experience and what state they came from, if they came from Florida, it could be very quick. We could get them done training in probably 2 or 3 months. If they don't have Florida training or Florida experience, then we have to get them into the Florida laws and all that other stuff.
Have you run into, I was just curious, in this 14 months that we've been without two officers, have you made offers and they didn't accept them?
Or no.
Okay, you just haven't had the resumes to come in.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, the pool of candidates nationally is very low, and my pool is even smaller than that. So, yeah. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bonham?
Hi, good evening. Don't have anything really to bring you all up to date, other than I'm still looking for some alternates, and those are still available. And our next tentative meeting looks like it's going to be January 9th, if you can mark your calendars. And it'll look like it's starting of a complete new budget season. That's all I have.
Any questions? Okay, do we have anybody in the audience who's from the public that would like to speak? I guess that would be a no. So the Essential Services Advisory Board meeting will be adjourned at 6:07. Thank you.
Chip, once again, you did an absolutely fantastic.